collapse. Collect yourself, collect yourself, Richard collapse.
Listening to WONY 90.9 FM, Oneonta, New York.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section and after Dad's back injury. They helped when you were in pain, and you held on to them just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Trouble with opioids can start at home with unused medicines, such as pills, patches, and syrups. You can remove the risk and protect your family. Find out how at www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here's some upcoming events to look forward to. On Monday, April 6th, Chuck's Comedy Club presents Kate Sisk, happening at 9 p.m. in the Hunt Union Waterfront. On Tuesday, April 7th, the men's baseball team plays New Paltz at 12 p.m. at the Red Dragon Baseball Field. Also on Tuesday, women's softball plays Hamilton at 3:30 p.m. at the Red Dragon Softball Field. And as usual, Trivia Tuesday will be happening at 9 p.m. at the Red Dragon Theater in Hunt Union. On Wednesday, April 8th, at 4 p.m., the women's lacrosse team plays New Paltz at the Red Dragon Field. On Thursday, April 9th, join the Love and Literature Club for a mocktails and mingling event happening at 6 p.m. in Fitzell, Room 203. And from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. from Monday through Thursday, head on over to the Alden Room for the Alden Room Scavenger Hunt. The Empire State Service Corps is looking for students to serve 300 hours of public service next academic year. Gain leadership skills, hands-on experience, and make an impact, all while building your resume. Applications for fall 2026 are now open, with priority deadline being on Friday, April 17th. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great week, everyone. Keep it locked.
Yo, what's up, everyone? DJ Nas from R2 rocking here in the morning. It's episode 106. Pretty stoked about today's interview. I'm not stoked about the snow that was outside when I woke up this morning. But this weekend is supposed to be 70 degrees. That's what they're saying. It is my privilege this morning to bring one of the most esteemed professors here on campus at SUNY Oneonta, Dr. Janet Nepke. You there, Janet?
Hi.
There you go. You're on the radio. You're live. So we're going to be talking about a few things in particular. Number one, the music industry program itself. Two, what her forte is in this area of expertise. Maybe a little bit of the cello as well, right? And then finally, there's a pretty big event happening on April 17th. Is that my correct or not? Yeah, Friday, April 17th. That involve a lot of our alumni and stuff like this. It's a special kind of forum, I guess. But we're gonna get into that in a minute or two. As I was digging through my record collection this morning, I was thinking about what to play, and I was like, I don't get to play my Bach enough. So I brought some Bach, and we're going to listen to Bach, and I'm going to play the first piece. I'm not going to announce what it is. I'm going to see if you know what it is. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay, it's the last movement of a relatively big piece, at least what I think is a relatively big piece, and one of my favorites. And I got to sing this in college at Wells as well, so I'm pretty stoked about it. So I'm going to play this Bach piece when it's over. It's about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. We're going to get back in here with Dr. Nepke and start chit-chatting about the music industry program. Happy Tuesday, everybody. That was the perfect introduction for Dr. Janet Nepke. I think so. We were just talking about how awesome Bach is. Okay, so we're going to start here with, do you want to go to where you went to school?
Sure.
Do you want to talk about that? Let's talk about your schooling for a little bit first, just because it's interesting for me to know, too, because some of it I do know, some of it I don't.
When I was in high school, we lived in Europe, and so the state we arrived back in at the time was the state of Michigan. And so I went to school there, the University of Michigan, for my undergrad and my master's degree.
Oh, who just won the championship last night, the NCAA men's basketball championship.
Pardon me?
Michigan won the championship last night.
Congratulations, Michigan.
Congratulations. Where'd you live in Europe?
I lived in school the first year in Neuchâtel, the French part of Switzerland.
Oh, wow.
And the second year I was in school in Barcelona, and my parents lived in Bilbao. So Barcelona, of course, is in the Catalan part of the country, and Bilbao is in the northern Basque part of the country. It was the last part of Spain to give in to Franco, who was the dictator at the time.
Interesting. So what was it? Was it just a generalized school, or was it a specific, was it a music-based school?
No, it wasn't music-based at all.
Okay.
I don't think there were any there. So it was a school. It was a school for young women.
Oh, okay. Fun. Okay, so you're in Europe, you go to, then you come to Michigan, of all places.
Right.
Right? And the glove.
And so the University of Michigan was there, and so I went to school there for my undergrad and for my master's.
Okay, and undergrad was in?
What area? It was in music. I've always been in music.
Yep. So what was it, a specific, or was it just like an
It was a music degree, a Bachelor of Music degree.
Bachelor of Music degree, okay.
And the master's was also in performance in music. I'm a cellist.
And cellist, yeah, and cello, as they say. This is super cool. So this is at University of
Michigan.
Did you like this? Did you like the state? Did you like the school?
The state?
Or the state and the school. I know nothing. I've never been to Michigan. for some bizarre reason, I've never been.
It's a beautiful state, and every summer I went to Interlochen, which was upstate Michigan, the National Music Camp.
Yes, I know of this. Did you work there? Were you part of it?
No, I was a student there.
You were a student there. Okay,
that's
awesome.
Right. This was long before I worked anywhere.
So awesome.
It was great, because when you go to a place like Interlochen, you meet so many musicians who are so good that it really brings your game up. You realize how much more you could be doing.
Oh, yeah.
When you meet a lot of other young people, and also the teachers were also famous artists for the most part, so you heard a level of music that you hadn't heard before. And it was an important area of, I'm not sure I would say inspiration, goal setting, perhaps.
Sure. That's amazing. Yeah. Do you remember anybody in particular famous? Is there one famous person that you remember that taught there?
Well, certainly Joseph Knizer was there, famous violinist. And I'm less well acquainted with the other instruments, with the brass.
Okay, yeah,
professors.
Sure. Okay, Interlochen. So you get your master's in cello.
Undergrad and master's.
You had to do a recital for that, huh?
Yes, I had to do a recital.
What did you play? What did you play in your master's recital?
I played a Beethoven sonata.
Which one?
The fifth sonata, which is really, it's in D major, it's gorgeous.
Okay.
Everybody would love it. And I played a Brahms sonata.
Oh, we love Brahms.
I love Brahms.
The bees, the big bees, right? They're always, yeah, Brahms is,
Very exciting. Very self-indulgent. You get to play your heart out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Something I love doing.
Wow. Okay. This is very cool. And so you get done with that, right?
Right.
And then what happens?
What happened was a little strange. I don't recall applying for the job here, but I got a call to interview here. And Suni Onyanta was willing to fly me and my cello out.
And then, yeah, right.
You understand that a cello is a very fine instrument. You can't just throw it under the plane. So
yes.
When you travel with a cello, you buy an extra airline seat for it.
That's right. That's right. It gets a seatbelt and everything.
That's right. And it doesn't eat any food, but it is there. And so Suni Onyanta paid for me and my cello. And
that's
I came
awesome.
Out here and I played my heart out for them for 2 days. They just kept me auditioning. I arrived, I auditioned, got up the next morning, I auditioned. I just kept playing with them. And then they offered me the job. And an older faculty member who was here at the time said, don't try to bargain about the salary. Just if you want the job, just say yes.
Yeah.
So I did.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It's also the state, so you know. Like, we love you, Sue Nonianna, by the way. Okay, so you get in. Well, that is
the funny thing is I didn't know anything about upstate New York. I had lived in Westchester County before we left the country, and so I thought that all of New York State was like Scarsdale, which is where I had lived, or New York City. I had no idea.
Yeah, right. It's totally different.
And so when I was flown into the Oneonta Airport and picked up in an Oneonta cab, it was all entirely unexpected, very new, and very beautiful.
Well, you flew into the Oneonta Airport.
I flew into the Oneonta Airport.
That's amazing. I don't. That's incredible. It's still going.
Yeah.
Super cool. Okay, so you get the job here teaching
cello. I was hired to be the cello and the lower strings person. And here at SUNY Oneonta, when you're hired full time to teach an instrument, you also teach other classes.
Yep.
To fill out your schedule. I was hired to teach cello, but also to build the cello class. There wasn't one at the time.
Okay.
So I did build the cello class. I had, at least 10 students by the time I moved into teaching music industry. And as soon as I began to teach music industry, my time was so full that I had to ask that they hire an adjunct to take over the cello class. The music industry program has been super. I love it. But it takes all day and most of the night.
Yes. Yeah. I want to get into this in a second. So it's from my, like you, I was hired to teach performance, and I'm still doing that. So I have nothing. I mean, I do have something to do with the industry because of the.
Of course.
You know, I do. But really, my full end of it is performance and performance in the industry, live performance, and so forth, and teaching instruments. The other end of that whole, not the other end, but there's multiple parts of the industry, obviously. The performance, there's the business end of it, which is what you're kind of in, right, I would say.
Yes, I teach contracts and copyright law.
Yeah,
basically.
Yep, business end of it. And then there's like the recording part of that as well. And, you know, we have amazing professors with all of this within these realms here. But I don't know much about this other end of it. And I always have to ask questions to people and be like, is this okay? Can I actually do this? Even up here, I remember we were talking about why my videos kept getting shut down. Because the audio is fine, but the video is not. It's a separate thing, which I know nothing about. So let me go back and see you teaching cello. And how do you start teaching industry stuff, right? But how does this happen? Like, how do you learn about all these industry things?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that I was educated as a performer, and I remain a performer. I still freelance very heavily, both up here in upstate New York, and back when I had the time, I freelanced in New York City as well in recording studios. I did jingles, I did albums, I did live performance. I still perform throughout New York State, wherever I can get to play cello and then get back in time to teach the next day.
Sure. Are you part of the Schenectady Symphony too?
I played with Schenectady. I played with Binghamton. I played with Utica. I played with Hudson Valley. I've played in New York City. So
very cool.
I love playing. That's always going to be there.
Yeah.
And I've had some, you know, when you're a performer, you certainly learn the technique. We hope you are fortunate enough to have had a good teacher, but you learn about performance by performing. And so
yes.
I remember the first time I was ever in a recording studio doing background music for a singer. I forget who it was. I'm sorry. I had never been in a recording studio. And I got the job the way you do all jobs except classical jobs. When you do a classical job, like an opera job or an orchestra, you audition for it. But every other job is somebody knows you're playing and recommends you.
Yeah, then you just get hired to do it. Yep.
Right. So I had played a job in Pennsylvania at a huge club. And one of the guitarists there in the job approached me. I didn't know him. And he said, would you like to play in a recording studio in New York? I said, sure, because you never say no when you're a performer. And he said, have you ever done any recording? And I said, sure. But that was sort of a stretch because the only recording I had done was recording my master's recital. So
a fib, but not really a fib.
I walked into the recording studio and I saw things I'd never seen before, including earphones. I'd never worked with earphones. And so I worked the first hour and a half of the job. Understand that you're playing there, you're playing cello. There's a microphone shoved up against the cello. Every single note, every single breath you take is being recorded and edited. And I put the phones on my ears and found I couldn't hear my cello. So I played an hour and a half just by touch of the cello, but I couldn't hear it. And finally, when we took a break, somebody on the other side of the studio came over to me and leaned over so that no one else could hear. And he said to me, keep a phone off one ear, which I hadn't thought about. So indeed, it works. So I put,
it does, yeah.
I put a phone in one ear where I could hear the click track. I could hear the beat. And I took the other phone off my ear where I could now hear my cello. So it was much easier playing in time and tune, knowing that.
Oh, yeah. It's so modern day rock stuff, a lot of times people use in-ears monitors. And in-ear monitors are great if everything in the band is going through the system.
Right.
The problem with a lot of times is when you're on a smaller budget, you're not miking everything in the band, right? So that you're only, if whatever's going through the in-ear is just what you're miking, so you'll get this weird mix. So whenever I do stuff like that, I only use one earbud and I take the other one out because then otherwise I can't hear. But most of the time the earbuds are me, like for in-ears or for vocals. So you're singing.
Right.
But if you have them both in, you just hear all these vocals really loud and then all the instruments are muffled and it's really weird sounding. So
in that job I had a click track, keeping time in one phone, and I had a scratch vocal in the other phone, which I was also following, but, you know, and it was a big recording job. The man next to me was Eugene Ormandy's brother, the famous cellist.
Eugene Ormandy's
a conductor.
Of course.
So it was a very big, important job. And I'm glad that I had the job. And I'm glad that I learned that way. It was great.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So how did you get into copy? So let's talk about copyright. So this is, it just seems like, okay, I'm a cello player, and then all of a sudden I'm teaching copyright.
It's true.
So how does that seems like a pretty big, like, you need to know some stuff about that in order to do it. Which
you're exactly right. when I came here, what I found was a brilliant set of faculty members. They were so smart and so good at what they did. And they taught me so much. A lot more than I had learned in school about a lot of different kinds of music. And that experience here at SUNY Oneonta has always been true. This music department is open to any kind of music. There is no music we're not interested in and no music we don't respect. So with that kind of atmosphere, I was so happy to be here. That I began to look for ways to help build the department. We didn't have a lot of majors in those days. We had, I think when I came, 5 majors.
And oh, wow.
So I looked for ways to build the department.
There was more of a service department at that point?
Yeah, it was, as I say, brilliant teachers, and they taught music lit, music theory, the usual things that a general student population would take. So the first thing I did was I started a guitar program, you may be interested to know.
Wow.
Which is interesting since I don't play guitar. But I found a lot of students who were brilliant at what they did. And they taught the students who were just beginners. And we had 100 guitarists. They came from all over New York State. We had students dropping in from Potsdam and Fredonia because We love music. We think jazz is a real genre. We like rock and roll. We like anything. And young people came in from everywhere to
and
be
that,
part of that.
That's huge because a lot of schools are like, well, no, you can't do that here.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I went to Potsdam and it was like, you can't do that. It's not that you can't do that here. We're not giving you credit
right.
or recognizing it. Like,
exactly
you can
right.
play whatever you want, but you can only get at that point. When I went to Potsdam, there was no, like, you could study jazz guitar. It was just nylon string classical. That was the option.
Yeah, so this school, as I say, the faculty I met when I came here, very, very, very open-minded about, well, everything, but certainly music. There was a world-famous specialist in non-Western music, a world-famous specialist in early Baroque practice. I just had a wonderful time working with these people. And so we did the guitar program until the guitar registration among students became so big that we were able to hire a guitar teacher. I funded it by throwing rock and roll concerts down at the Copper Fox.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's still rolling, the Copper Fox.
Yeah. And so the money we earned down there, I used to hire guitar teachers. And eventually, the enrollment became so big that the school funded us to hire a guitar teacher, a real guitar teacher. And that was cool. But then I realized that in order to support this department, which I cared about so much, we needed to have more majors. And at that time, SUNY doesn't allow... It only allows three campuses to teach music ed because music ed's a very expensive program. So
I did not know this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so I thought about music therapy, but I learned that that takes more classes than we had at the time
yeah.
in terms not of music.
Yeah, the other stuff.
Yeah, engineering and science.
Yep.
So I thought about music business, and the reason I thought about that is because I'm a performer. People hire me to play. And so I thought I had some knowledge of the music business. And I went around New York State meeting people who run record companies, vice presidents of RCA, of the major record labels. I attended conferences. Everyone was helpful. Everyone was friendly. Everyone agreed to come up here for free to guest lecture my students. The first year I taught, I had Sid Bernstein, he's the manager who brought the Beatles to this country. He set up the Shea Stadium concert.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I had copyright lawyers who were famous throughout the nation come up here for free. And I joined the Copyright Society. I became president of the Music and Entertainment Industry Educators Association, where I met music business teachers from across the country. And everyone was very generous. And somewhere along the line, I discovered something I would never have expected, which is that I fell in crazy love with copyright law.
Yeah, who does that?
Who does that?
You do that.
Well, I belong to the Copyright Society, and all those lawyers do that, too.
Yes.
I'm one of the few non-lawyers who's a member there.
Yeah.
But I'm known and treated well by all those attorneys who are famous throughout the nation, if not the world. And I certainly follow what they're doing, and they involve me with what they're doing. So it's great. I think that my absolute total love for copyright law is picked up by a lot of my students. Every year, a couple of them head off to law school.
Oh, yeah, we have a bunch.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to see that the people that go in that
and
direction.
They're running companies and they're starting their own businesses.
It's, oh, yeah. It's a very, you know, the thing about copyright or that end of the spectrum, too, is the continuing education part is huge.
Yep.
Because things change all the time.
Right.
And, I mean, especially when the digital world kind of took off
right.
and everything's available now, it's dumbfounding to me. How much new stuff is going on with the copyright stuff. So here's a question. Let me ask you a question about something and see if you know the answer. Because I don't know the answer. And this may not – this doesn't have to do with music, but maybe just copyright in general. So AI, right? Have you found yourself having to do a bunch of research on this?
Oh, all of academia is? I would say all of the world is, yes.
Yeah, so for me, I ignore it. I probably shouldn't. I've been trying to ignore it as much as possible. Not that I don't respect it, but I can use it for what I'm doing, but for this, there's not also nothing like just sitting in a room with a guitar and like talking about the usage of, you know, how to play the thing and being creative with it. And same thing in the rehearsal room. Most of the time, I'm not using digital formats. I'm just sitting there playing the stuff. People have to do the stuff. They'll use it outside of the rehearsal, but when we're in the rehearsal, we don't really use it. Mm-hmm. So, but there's a lot of AI promotional material out there now. So, thing I've been seeing online a lot is like flyers being made with AI, and it will say, "Oh, blah blah blah, organization playing blah blah blah," and what I've been noticing is a lot of independent artists getting upset that their name is attached to a flyer that was made with some kind of AI, as opposed to hiring an independent artist to make the flyer. And I was wondering if you know if somebody's name or presence is on a flyer made by AI, if the person who made the flyer with the AI has to ask permission to put that person's name on it.
That's not altogether a copyright question, right?
I'm just wondering. I don't know if it's a copyright question, but it's just a question in general. I don't know if you know the answer to that.
Well, it would be a right of publicity, right of person's name. We have, those are state laws. They are different laws in each state. However, I think that a person could say if he had a public presence, that if his name was used in a way that defamed him or that he thought defamed him, then he would have a cause of action.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, when I see those kinds of flyers, I was like, oh, somebody was lazy, you know, or just didn't have the time or what, isn't a person. Like, cause there's certain images that you see now and you can just tell it's AI.
That's true.
It's so generic looking, but I don't know if it's defamation. It's just kind of
things
like,
are changing so quickly that pretty soon you won't be able to tell if it's AI.
I have to check things on a daily basis when I see things or when people say things.
Right.
I'm like, that's not real. And then I'm like, that's real.
This is also not new. I mean, people in the record business have been making up bands for 20, 30, 40 years.
Yes.
You make some music. You write some music. You make a recording of it. If it hits, then you find the band to play, right?
That's right, 100%. Yeah, you find the people to do it. remember the Milli Vanilli thing?
Yeah.
It's very funny. Well, not funny. One of them passed away, but one of them is alive, and they have been out, like, playing music now and putting stuff out under their...
Does your whole audience know about that? The Milli Vanilli song?
They probably do. The Milli Vanilli thing is kind of crazy. But here's the thing is, like, that person's been putting out music now, like, doing it. And I listened to some the other day, and it's really bad. Like, that person can barely sing. Maybe there was a thing for that. And once again, if we look back at that, we're looking at, like, there's so much lip syncing going on in public image with all this kind of stuff. It's not, it's about the song and the public image. It's not necessarily about the performance with a lot of that stuff. So I'm not even going to get into it, but this is so fascinating to learn all of this stuff about. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a song.
Okay, great.
Because otherwise we'll talk and then it'll be the end of the program. We want to get to the meat and potatoes of what we were here to do to begin with. And I'm going to, so out of all of the cello pieces by Bach, because I'm only playing Bach today, my favorite is the 6th suite.
Mm.
And I think the reason being is I got a transcription by, I'm trying to think, maybe it was Paul Galbraith, who's a really interesting nylon player.
Mm-hmm.
He plays the nylon straight up like a cello and has it hooked into a sound box. It's very interesting the way he plays. Plays an 8-string, I think. But I think I got a transcription of all 6 of the suites for guitar because they go over pretty nicely.
They're great.
Yeah, and it's also nice because you can add in extra notes. So you get, like, more chordal stuff.
So these are solo suites. There's no other instrument. Bach wrote them only for one instrument.
That's right. It's super cool. So my favorite is the sixth, and I'm going to play the first movement from that. And I'm going to play probably one of the most famous recordings by Yo-Yo, which I love. I'm sure there's other ones. Pablo, right?
Yep.
He's done it, and other...
A lot of people have done that. The suites are great.
But this was probably my favorite. So we'll play the first movement here, and then we're going to come back and talk about this big thing we're putting on here at Suniuniana. So. The great Yo-Yo Ma.
Incredible.
So during this 3 minutes and 50 seconds or whatever, I also learned something. Dr. Nepke went to NYU.
which I did not know, got your doctorate there.
I got my PhD at NYU.
In what?
New York University at the time had a degree which combined the different kinds of arts. So art, dance, music, certainly ways of expressing yourself. And so I got that degree.
Okay.
And I taught at NYU. I taught music business at NYU at the same time, which is how I was able to afford the degree at NYU, because they gave me tuition remission and a small payment.
That's amazing.
It's a very expensive school, very good school, very interesting school, and, of course, right there, located in the most wonderful place.
Were you living in Manhattan?
Yes, I did. I lived in Manhattan. I lived on West 70th and Amsterdam.
Very cool. My daughter's in the western edge of Greenwich Village right now.
Oh, super.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. She lived in Alphabet City for the role. She lived on Avenue B and East 6 for a little
bit. I assume you visited her often there.
Oh, I go frequently. my favorite when she was using the East Village, because that's my place, you know? Yeah. That's what I like the most. But okay, so here's a big thing. So one of the main reasons, not that there's all these other reasons I didn't want to have you on here, but we have something kind of big going on April 17th. And I want to preface this by saying that I have a pretty good outreach to a lot of the alumni through social media, and I keep up with the students. And I am dumbfounded every day when I scroll online about what our grads are doing. And then I just learn about some of them, and I'm like, you're doing what? Like, it's insane. Like, what a lot of them are doing. And it doesn't get recognized enough, I think. It's just hard to go out there and do it. We don't have a dedicated person, necessarily, that's keeping track of all of the alumni and, like, constantly posting about them. It'd be awesome. We have alumni engagement, but you could have a full-time person in the music industry here that's their single job. Like, tracking what our majors are doing and putting up the incredible things, because it's nuts.
Right.
I'm just going to say that. Like, we do it right. I've been saying this for a long time, but SUNY Oneonta does it right. And I think we should all be proud.
When you and I started talking, I mentioned that when I came here, how fortunate I felt to be amongst a group of faculty who are so bright and so helpful and so kind. But I also have the same feelings multiplied about our students. Our students are phenomenal. Our undergrads are very curious. It happens at least once a week. I'll be crossing the quad going someplace, and a faculty member from another department will say to me, I have some of your students in my class. Your students are great. Your students are curious. Your students always have a sense of humor, which they really do.
Oh, they do.
And we have wonderful, wonderful students, and we have wonderful grads as a result. They're all over the music industry and actually all over the world. So, yeah, I'm really, really fortunate to be working with these students, and it's great that our alums are as loyal as they are. Our alumni are loyal to our undergraduates. All of the people who are going to attend the April 17th Alumni Council event are coming in at their own expense, on their own time. They're leaving really, really busy careers to come here because they want to work with their undergraduates and give them a leg up, give them a network.
So let's talk. So this is the big thing. Let's talk about what this is.
Sure.
When it is, how people can get involved, who's on the panel, all of these things so that people know what's going down.
Sure.
So first of all, what is it?
I realize that we have so many star-level alumni, and I hear from them a lot, how they would love to help our undergrads. They come in, they speak to our students, they appear on broadcast, they appear on Teams, they are everywhere. Many of our grads are offering internships to our undergraduates. I realized that they would be willing to come here, and so we formed an alumni council, an advisory council. It's advisory to our students, but I also view it as advisory to our department, too. I'm teaching about performance rights. I talk about ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and one of the people who will be coming here is a vice president at ASCAP, which is the only independent performance rights organization left in our country. So he'll be here. He's the vice president of legal affairs. He went to law school.
And who is this?
Alex Grout. So he's class of 08.
Okay.
And he's at one of the highest levels there in one of the best known organizations throughout the world. He'll be coming here, and all of our students, all of these alums and all of our current students are serve an internship before they leave school. The internship is a graduation requirement for the music program, the music industry program, because all of your knowledge is only informed by your experience outside of school. Also, the internship is the place where you meet other professionals who can teach you and who can help you get a start in your career.
Yeah, it's networking is such a big thing. In this.
Well, networking is often used as a bad word. It is not a bad word. You're not using other people. You are gaining experience
yes.
in what you've been taught in school. It's real world experience. I understand that school is also real world, but we're talking about once you leave school, where do you go? Whom do you know? How do you get your first start?
Yes.
And where do you learn about what you really love? Here in school, we teach a broad area of the music industry and performing arts. But once you get out there and do it, then that's where you discover, of all the things that you learned in school, what you would like to do more of.
Yeah, you hone in. You know. So we have, so Alex Grout, right?
Right,
so
Alex Grout.
He's one of the, there's six of them, right?
There's going to be at least six of them, that's
can we,
right.
Can we talk about the six that we know of?
I'll do my best.
Yeah, so we have Alex Grout, right?
I have Dave Seward coming in. He is a co-owner of Empire Live. Which
oh,
is,
great venue.
Yeah.
I played there.
Yeah, it's a great venue in Albany.
Yes.
And
in the Underground.
He started out as an intern there, and now he's a co-owner.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And Rit Veneris, who is the
yes.
founder of what's called Cal Financial, which is a business management firm for artists. For example, they are the business manager for the Dave Matthews Band. And they also represent famous sports figures. So that's Rit. Rit had several internships before he graduated here.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I had Rit. I know Rit. I just don't think I ever worked with
yeah.
Rit. What year was Rit?
He graduated in 93.
Okay, yeah.
And Carla Webb, who is an attorney, another attorney who's
coming
here.
She's amazing because
yeah.
I had her in my a couple of my guitar classes,
uh-huh.
and she was a very big part of the music industry club when she was up here.
Right.
Working with them, putting shows on and stuff like that.
So now she's issuing licenses for TikTok and ByteDance.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's big.
I know. And we have Chelsea Dankner, who's also working with a major record label.
Okay.
And Jared Kalish, who works with Sweetwater. Any of you who plays an instrument has probably ordered things from Sweetwater.
Oh, yeah, you get the candy.
Yeah, you do. That's right. Every time you get an order. We're bringing in Tamima Shamas, who is also one of our more recent grads.
Yeah,
Tamima
that's right.
is a good example of one of our grads who went out and started her own business, her own
oh.
very successful business.
And what is she doing?
Well, Tamima did something interesting. She wanted to be an artist manager or agent, which is certainly something we talk about a lot in school. When she went and started her own business, she discovered that there is a whole class of people who do really well, but are not represented. And those are influencers. So she helped,
yes.
helped shape their careers. And so she certainly managed a lot of artists and served as an agent for them, but also this class of people who helped build her business because they needed someone like her. And she'll be in here too. So we do have people who started their own business. We have people who work for large companies. Rit's a good example, the man who has the business manager for Dave Matthews, and lots of major sports figures as well. He started his own business. He had many, many, many internships. And as I say, Carla Webb, I can remember her sitting in my legal issues class, and she eventually went to work for somebody who had been a guest lecturer, and then she moved to California. Where she got a really great job. All of these people speak highly about the internship program that we require. As I say, We give them the knowledge they'll need so that when they go into interview, they'll understand how the business works.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they also understand that knowing people who are already successful is an important way to learn more about the business. So it's happening April 17th. We'll open at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to go through till evening.
Okay, so where is it?
It's going to be an alumni hall. And anybody who's interested in attending, pick up a pencil. I need you to contact the music department chair. His name is Dr. Pignato. That's P-I-G-N-A-T-O. You should do it right now.
Yeah, I'll put all this on my socials, too. So anybody back and listening, they
That's
can go
great.
Back in and check
so
the
all
Instagram.
You have to do is shoot him an email, Dr. Pignato, Joe Pignato at SUNY Oneonta, and we'll reserve a place for you so you get to come and go. It's an all-day event. You can come and you can go. You don't have to sit. It's not like coming to a class. All of our speakers will be available at a panel session starting out so they can interact with each other. We're very career-oriented in the music department. So these students will be basing their remarks, these alums, on what we're calling a career trajectory. How do you get started? How do you move ahead? And what happened with them? We have a couple of our alums talking about what I wish I knew when I was first starting in the business.
I still ask that.
And all of us can talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
If you're interested in the music products business, you'll be able to go into a room to talk about music products itself. And so we're very focused on what happens to you in school, but also what happens to you after school.
Yes.
We have probably one-third of our student body are learning about the audio arts, and so they're in recording studios. But what other careers are available for you besides working in a studio? Well, if you're in love with recording, then you're also in love with the gear. And there's a huge career to be had working with the gear that you love and the new gear that comes along, helping people do that. If you are basically a performer, how can we use your love of performing? We hope you'll get to be the next big world-known band, but along the way, there are several other things you can do with your skill and your knowledge and your love of performing. For example, you've developed a really great ear if you're a performer, so you can hear music better than many other people. You might decide what sort of music should be put with film or with an ad or with any other kind of experience, which is both visual and audio. And there are very exciting careers here, too. So we try to prepare our students to be ready for careers. The internship is an important part of the entire degree. That's why we require it for graduation. We have an excellent experiential education group here on our campus, but we are also encouraging our students to have internships in the city and at the company where they wish they could work after they graduate. And that has been a very successful combination for many of our grads. They are alumni. After all, I was telling my legal issues class yesterday, all of the people who are speaking here sat where our current students are sitting now and talked about copyright. They talked about record contracts.
Yes.
The students in my class have to draft a deal memo for a record deal. They have to create a deal memo for a publishing deal, which is exploiting your music. All of the students who are coming, all of the alums who are coming, were in all the required music industry classes 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago. So they
yep.
understand our campus. They're loyal to our campus. They want to help our undergrads. And our current undergrads are having experiences with which our alums had some years ago and became successful. I think one more word about the attitude in the music industry program here. We try to prepare students for a satisfying life after graduation. And every single class that we offer also touches entrepreneurship, also touches building a career. So one of our grads is a vice president here at SUNY Oneonta. And I said to him yesterday, I count you as a success of the music industry program because you learned about building and excelling and helping others? He said, absolutely. Two of our grads are vice presidents at banks in the state of New York. Many of our grads are doing things which you might not immediately think as part of the music industry, but any performer will tell you, you, Mark, for example, would probably say, yeah, I do a lot of different things to support my career as a player. All the heavy-duty copyright lawyers that I work with, almost all of them have weekend bands. And the thing is, they can afford the really good instruments and recording in a really good recording studio because they're making good money. And I think the last thing to say before I get back to this is the fact that one of the things that music industry students and music teachers in general talk about and they care a lot about is ethics, right and wrong. So you kind of touched on it when you said, what if somebody's name is used without his permission on a flyer?
Yeah.
These are questions of right and wrong, which we address every day and in every class, every music industry class, because it's central to what guides our lives. And that's what music is all about. Everybody feels music. Everybody gets pumped up about music. So music is about what's right and wrong, I think, in life.
100%.
Yeah.
So wise words.
This April 17th event will be music industry alums donating their time, donating their knowledge, being there available. You can talk with them one-on-one. Although we do have a panel session, we will also have several sessions when you can just you go talk to one of our alums in a separate room talking about that particular topic. You can share your resume with that person. You can talk about career plans. You can talk about what's important to you. And ask somebody who's been there, done that, and come out successful how that happens.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
This is a great event. Who is there a moderator?
We will have...
Or multiple moderators?
We will have some moderators.
Okay.
But basically, our alums are the people that this event is about. We will have people, excuse me, organizing. Dr. Pignato will certainly be a moderator, the chair of the department, but also... Several of our top-level SUNY Oneonta administrators are going to try to be present because they care, too. They also care about our undergrads, and they also want the best for our grads.
Very cool. Two things before we wrap up, right? One, everybody should go to that.
April 17th.
And then when you're done with that, that night... So there's a big show going on, actually. The SUNY Oneonta Rock Ensemble is on the Betty All Theater stage, which holds 600 people, playing Pink Floyd's The Wall in its entirety.
Super.
Which is very cool, because I reached out to a couple of the panelists and said, hey, you know, if you're around, I'm going to have to miss, like, most of this panel because I have to go to the foothills and set up for this giant show that's going on. So I'm going to try to sneak in and out of it while I'm doing it. But if you're around that night, we'll be at Foothills doing that. That was the first thing. I don't even know what the second thing was. Oh, well, I think I just want to shout out to Dr. Nepke and say how amazing it was to have you on the show and all the hard work you've done for the department here and still continue to do. And... this was the last thing. I always ask this. Okay, you ready?
The most important
question of all questions. Favorite restaurant in Oneonta? That's current favorite restaurant in Oneonta. This is the most important question, obviously, of everything.
I'm probably not going to be able to help you there because all of my meals are eaten in my office.
That is true. Well, if you're going to go to one place to go eat, though, you got to give me one. You got to throw out one place. It couldn't be throughout the years.
I like the B-side.
The B-side ballroom. It's always good food at the B-side.
Yeah, it's great food.
And once again, run by people who went to SUNY Oneonta and a distinct
music,
both in Rebecca Carrington graduated. I don't know if Wayne graduated or not.
He's going to graduate.
Yeah, Wayne is going to graduate at some point.
Very soon.
Oh, no, that's Andrew. Well, Wayne, I don't know if Wayne ever graduated.
Right.
Wayne, go back, get your degree if you haven't graduated yet. but Rebecca is an esteemed alumni from here.
And has had
a storied career in the music industry. So, all right, I'm going to sign off with another piece by Bach. I'm going to play one of the Brandenburg Concertos on our way out of here.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Mark. As you told me, I had a great time.
Oh, yes, it's always fun. Tomorrow, everybody, I will not be in because I'm taking the day off because I have a very long day. Thursday is Andres Balance. We're going to spin some albums. Friday is Christina Plath Strain. She owns a business in Gilbertsville. Some kind of beauty products and so forth. So I'm excited to have her on. The week after that, there will be no shows because I'm prepping for this Pink Floyd thing. But if anybody wants to come on the last 3 weeks of the semester, I have a bunch of open dates. So come on, get on here with What's in Your Pocket, DJ Nuss for Mark II, Wony 90.9, keeping it locked. Here's some Brandenburg Concerto to quench your thirst for more Bach. Everybody rock and roll. I'll see you on Thursday.